Well, what do when the lights go out? We look at the length of our prayer request this morning. I kind of feel like this message is appropriate, more so today than maybe other times. But there are times in our lives as God's people that we have to serve God in the midst of darkness. There are times when we find it difficult to see very far ahead. You see, it's hard to stand when we do not understand. Life is filled with melody and misery, as well as high times and hard times. It's interesting that as Christians we desire to be overcomers, but do not want very much to overcome. Life is filled with melody and misery, as well as high times and hard times. It is interesting that as Christians, we desire to be overcomers. We desire to go to heaven, but would rather not die in order to get there. In its very essence, life is tragic without Jesus Christ in our lives. So I ask you this morning, are you experiencing a dark time? Do you have a wayward child? Have you experienced a financial reversal? Has someone broke your heart or taken advantage of you? Are you not able to make sense out of what is happening in your life? There are those seasons in life when we are not able to mentally grasp what is transpiring in our lives. Think about it for a moment. There are those instances when we have studied our lessons, learned our formulas, memorized the word promises of God, and think we have it all figured out, and suddenly we plunge into a deep, deep darkness. So why does such darkness come to a Christian? The question that Christians ask more than any other is why? Yeah. Why did my child have to die? Why did my business have to go bankrupt? Why does God allow sickness to come to me or my loved ones? Why did my granddaughter need brain surgery? Why did my wife or sister get cancer? Why does my daughter have MS? Why is my husband so sick? Why am I the caregiver? Why do I have to have surgery or therapy? Why did I get cancer? Why does God allow sickness to come to me or my loved ones? Why did God heal that person and not heal me? Why did my dad have to die? Why are my parents gone? Why did my husband go? Why did my wife go? Why did God allow my child to go wayward? Why? 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 What do we do when the light goes out? What do we do when darkness comes into our lives? You see, when we went to school, we received the lessons, and then the tests that came second. But in our Christian walk in life, we take the test first and then learn the lessons. In this message, there are several lessons to be learned when the lights go out in our lives. And that first lesson is faith's devotion. Those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Our scripture text is not talking about someone who has wandered away from God. This person fears and loves the Lord. The fear of the Lord means love on its knees. The person who fears God the most loves God the most. Excuse me. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, in this piece of literature that I come across that was titled Wisdom Lit, it reads that the face of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A sense for awe and respect for the majesty of God. When we refer to why do we fear the Lord or fear the Lord, this is what it's talking about. It's not talking about being afraid or scared. It's talking about love and respect. This person in our scripture obeys the voice of God. There is a distorted idea that if a person becomes a Christian, it will always be honey and no bees. There will always be sunlight and roses, and no rain and no weeds. That's simply not what our Christian walk is. Every one of us that love and fear the Lord have experienced, or maybe am experiencing as we speak this morning, a darkness within our lives. There are tens of thousands of Christians across the world that fear and love the Lord and yet are experiencing this darkness. More than 150,000 Christians were murdered last year throughout the world. Some of them were asked if they loved Jesus and they said yes, bang. Job said that God has brought darkness in my path. We all know Job's story. Wealthy man and lost everything, including his children. Habakkuk said, "How long shall I cry and you not hear?" We mentioned that in our prayer this morning. We know God hears our prayer. But we also know that He knows the right time to answer that prayer, and He knows what the correct answer and the best answer for us is. Even though we seem to be in a period of darkness. John the Baptist, well, he sent messengers from his prison cell and he asked Jesus, "Are you really the Messiah or should we look for someone else?" As John was sitting in prison, he was living this period of darkness, so dark that he was questioning if Jesus Christ was truly the Messiah. Have we ever questioned that ourselves in our walk with life, in our period of darkness? Is that part of the why that we have as Christians? Each of these great men of God came to a time in their life that they did not understand or comprehend what was fully happening to them. If you read the stories of great saints in history, there's hardly one of them who did not experience the dark night of the soul. So if you are in darkness, if you have one of these whys that we talked about, that we mentioned, or perhaps another one, it does not necessarily mean that you are out of the will of God, or that you have sinned before the Lord. The answers to our whys does not mean God is getting even. It does not mean that God is exercising revenge on our sins. That time will come, but it's not now. The second lesson is faith development. The faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. When have you grown the most spiritually in your life? Has it been during the sunlight? Or has it been during your darkness? Is it not true that when Mr. Trouble knocked on our heart's door, we have matured more than at any other time in our life? Faith is like a film. It is better developed in the dark. What brought this thought to mind was when I was a teenager, young teenager, my buddy and I, we decided that we wanted to go into the film developing business. And back in that day, everything got developed. But it wasn't that difficult. We just needed the chemicals to do it. We had the instructions. And we needed a dark space. Well, in my folks' house, we lived in a bi-level house where the levels are split. The only dark space we had in our entire house was this itty-bitty little cubby hole underneath the steps. And that's where we went to develop our films. And we weren't real successful at it, but I will say this. When you take a film in to get it developed and you go through the process and you see the results, it is a beautiful thing. I don't care what the picture's of, but it is an awesome and beautiful experience. And it is the exact same thing when we go into that little cubby hole that when we are in our period of darkness, and when we go in there and close that door and we find Jesus Christ in that little cubby hole with us and he develops this film and shows us his glory and his promises is far more beautiful than any picture that my buddy and I developed underneath them stairs. When we are in our darkness is the time when we are the most vulnerable. And because of that, it is the easiest time for us to accept Jesus Christ and bring him into our heart. And it is the easiest time to see his awe and wonder and his beauty. When you are in the dark, you do not have to have an explanation. You see, you need God. It is more important to be with God in the valley of darkness than it is to be on a sunlit peak without him. There are some things that I want that I don't need, and there are some things that I need that I don't want. Only God can truly discern between what is bad and good and what is good and best. And we are, the easiest time we are taught that is when we are in our darkness. And part of it is because when we are in our darkness is the easiest time for to call on Jesus Christ. When things are great, we got a good job, we got a brand new house, we got two expensive cars in the garage, and we got wonderful kids that have caused us zero problems, And it goes on and on and on and on. It is easy for us to stand on that sunlight peak and not even think of Christ. But when we are in our darkness, He is the first one we go to. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You bet. Yeah. And if we know somebody that is living in this period of darkness, and they lean on us to be their caregiver or their support package, it is our responsibility to introduce Jesus Christ to them. It is the best opportunity you will have to go forward and make disciples of men. Because, just as it was and is with us, it's the easiest time for that person in darkness to listen to what you have to say. Sometimes God removes all the answers in order to give us Himself. A relationship is more important than a reason God desires to use us in the midst of darkness. John Milton, in the darkness of his blindness, wrote Paradise Lost. While John Bunyan was in the Bedford jail in England, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. These are books that address exactly what we're talking about this morning. And during John the Revelator's exile on the island of Patmos, he wrote the book of Revelations. You see, God wants to develop our faith. Never doubt in the dark what you learn in the light. Let me say that again. Never doubt in the dark what you learn in the light. You see, while everything's going great and we're in the light and we're going through life, our Christian walk, and we're doing all that we have been taught to do, is when we learn these lessons that we lean on when we are in the dark. And it's those lessons that we use for those that we are a support package or a caregiver when they are in the dark. Never, the test of our character is not what we do in a worship service. We come to church on a Sunday morning and we enter this sanctuary. What we do while we are here is not a test of who we are. The test of our character is what we do when we are in the darkness. Shortly before Mother Teresa's death, she said this: "You will never know what Jesus is all you need until all you have is Jesus." Let me say that again. You will never know what Jesus is all you need until all you have is Jesus Christ. So the third lesson is faith's discernment. Some things are seen in the dark that cannot be seen in the light. You will realize that one day in the darkness, you are learning some truths. There are treasures of darkness. For example, have you ever heard someone say, "The stars are out tonight"? The fact is that the stars are out in the daytime, but we cannot see them because of the sunlight. Sometimes we can't see Jesus Christ when it shines the brightest, where it's much, much easier to call on Him and see Him when we are in the darkness. There are some treasures of darkness that are only revealed at night. So I want to share a few of these treasures of darkness. First, in low light, we may see more clearly, but in the darkness, we can see further. Now you say, what are you talking about, Pastor Gary? This is crazy. Everybody knows you can't see your hand in front of your face when it's dark. But you can see that hand 200 yards away when it's light. That's not what I'm talking about. You see further when you are living in your darkness because of everything that you learned and believed while you were in the light comes to hand. It is easier to search and find Jesus Christ when you're in your darkness, when it is the darkest period of your life, than when it is everything is going great and you're taking all the credit for it. Second, we may think our brightest thoughts in the day, but we will think our deepest thoughts in the dark during the night. Third, we may learn more about others during the day, but we will learn more about ourselves during the dark. It's been said we can dress as though we are intelligent, but when we open our mouths, people will know that we really are not. When someone has gone through a dark period in his or her life, they will learn some truths that will remain with them the rest of their lives. Often Christians revert to cliches when they do not know what to say to the person who is walking through the darkness. One of them that I have used, and that we preached on a couple of years ago, is God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. That's not in the Bible. That's not true. God will give you something you cannot handle if you do not call on Christ while you're in that darkness. And there are many other cliches that Christians like to refer to because they don't know anything better to say to that person that's living in this darkness or anything other to think of when they are living in that darkness. When we do not know what to say, it's important that we simply recognize that we do not understand because we have not undergone through what they are experiencing in their lives. There's no way we can know. If you've never had cancer, you can't know what it's like for that person that does. If you've never had a child in surgery, you can't know what it's like for those that do. If you've never had a child or a grandchild that has gone wayward and lives in the dark side of the world, you cannot know what it's like for that parent or grandparent that does. And it goes on and on and on. There is a discipline of darkness. This kind of darkness teaches us when to speak and when to remain silent. Going back to that, as soon as you open up your mouth, people know you're dumb or you say something dumb. Before we open up our mouth, if we ask Jesus Christ to give us the strength and the words and the courage, when you open your mouth, it will not be dumb. The fourth lesson is face danger. It is better to be serving God in the darkness than to be standing alone in a man-made light. One of the most dangerous temptations is that we will be tempted to light our own fire in the darkness. We will lean on ourselves to pull us out of the darkness. If God has ordered or commanded that darkness, then we must wait upon God. Sure, sometimes God does that. For a multitude of reasons, probably a whole different sermon. We must never get the idea that darkness can overcome the light. You see, darkness cannot withstand the light. Darkness will run from the light. Yeah. If you do not believe this, then turn on the light in the darkest room, then open your closet door. You will find that the darkness is hiding inside that closet. You will find, if you are in a lighted room, darkness cannot come overcome that light. Darkness can never chase away light. As long as there is a bulb lit in this sanctuary, darkness from the street cannot enter here. Darkness can never chase away light. You cannot open the front door of your home and let in the darkness from outside. The only way that darkness can enter is that the light be removed. The only way that darkness from the street can come into this sanctuary and influence us in the manner that Satan wants us to be influenced can only happen if somebody in this sanctuary turns these lights off. If Jesus Christ, the light of life, is not in this sanctuary, that darkness can enter. But as long as we invite Jesus Christ here and worship Him and honor Him, that darkness from the street cannot come. So if the light has been removed from the situations of your life, then God, in His wisdom, has allowed you to be in the darkness. If God is one who has allowed darkness to come your way, then do not be foolish enough to light your own fire. You can't do it on your own. You just can't. A man-made fire is deceptive. It is not a sure guide for one to follow. It is like a man getting up in the middle of the night with his flashlight and going over to his sundial to see what time it is. He's going to still be in the dark. He isn't going to know what time it is. He isn't going to know that it's time to accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. God says that if we light our own fire in the midst of God's ordered and commanded darkness, then we are the ones who will suffer. For example, God told Abraham that he and Sarah would eventually have a child of their own. God gave a promise. However, God did not fulfill that promise immediately. Abraham, in the midst of his darkness of doubt, created his own fire with Hagar. And the result was Ishmael was born. Think about the suffering that came to Abraham in the world because he did not wait on God in the midst of his own darkness. So I ask you, has darkness come to your life? Are you waiting on God or are you creating your own fire? Patience usually isn't something that we have a great amount of. I could probably be the first in that line. So the final lesson is face daybreak. If your sun has set, it will rise again. God will awaken us in the morning. Even though you may be in darkness now, there is a better day coming. If you are in darkness, then trust God. God will eventually turn every tear to a pearl. Every hurt into a hallelujah. Every Calvary into an Easter. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. One of these days, God is going to pull the shades of night and pin them with the stars. He will then open the door of the morning and flood your world with His light and His love. You will see things and know the truth like you have never seen or known before. There is a better day coming. For non-Christians, this is as good as it will ever get. For Christians, this is as bad as it will ever get. There is coming a day when we step out of time into eternity and we will see the fullness of the glory of God. So this morning, I challenge you in the near future to take a walk and enjoy the warmth of a sunny day. Yet while you are enjoying that warmth of the sun, remember that the sun rays are 8.3 minutes away or old when they reach you. Even though you can experience the warmth of the sun, you have never seen the full intensity of the sun. The surface temperature of the sun is more than 10,000 degrees. And the inner core of the sun is more than 27 million degrees. I don't know how they come up with these figures, my goodness. But it was good for a sermon. So I ask you, have you ever felt its warmth, but never really seen the sun? Have you ever felt the warmth of Jesus Christ, but have never really had a one-on-one talk? Have you ever heard somebody talking to you about accepting Jesus Christ and you walked away to the darkness? In like manner, we can feel the warmth of God's presence, but we have never fully seen the glory of God. However, there is coming a time when the children of God will see His face. We will fully see what we've slightly experienced. Just remember, when the lights go out, God is still there in the midst of your darkness. He wants to give you a star so you can praise Him more. Our trials become stars in order to praise the Lord. When the light goes out, reflect on our faith's devotion, development, discernment, danger, and faith's daybreak. When we come out of the darkness and we're standing at the pearly gates and they slowly open up, and the most remarkable and beautiful sign of light will shine on your face. And Jesus Christ will be standing there like this, welcoming you to the eternal light where there is no more darkness, because the light of Jesus Christ has chased it away. I encourage you, when you are in your period of darkness, or when you are the support package for those that are, or the caregiver for those that are, that you talk to them about this light of Jesus Christ that will chase this darkness away. And all of God's people said,
Amen. Amen.